Good morning. Take your Bible and turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. This morning, as we continue our study in the book of Ephesians, I'm going to begin reading with verse 15, and we'll go right into verse 16. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the love in truth, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. He speaks here about a union, if you will, between Christ and the church. Christ is the head of the body. And you, as a member of the church, now I didn't say the member of the First Baptist Church or the First Church of Podunk Hollow, we're talking now in general terms as a believer being a part of the called out assembly, the body of Christ, the church in a broad, in its broadest sense, okay? You've been cleansed by the blood. Now, here's the point. If you know Christ as Savior, you have a unique position in this body of Christ. There are certain things that God has equipped you to do. And you will do them, or you have the ability, the potential at least, to do these things in such a way as to be unique. No one else could do it quite the same way you could or would. In that sense, notice there is a role for you to play. There is a contribution you, as an individual believer, have to make as far as the body of Christ. Contribution. I hear you. You're talking money now. No, I'm not. Watch what it says. From which, speaking of Christ the head, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Did you ever work a picture puzzle? You know what I'm talking about. You know, you get a box and it's got like 4 zillion pieces. We've got a picture here of blue sky with one cloud in the middle of it. And you're going to take 5,000 pieces of blue and make a picture of the blue sky with one cloud in the middle of it. Man, that is crazy. You got nothing to work with except just hunting and looking and trying and fiddling around, and it's difficult to do. But when you put one of those pictures together, those pieces fit together. Yeah. It's like they interlock, like they're cut one. Yes, exactly. You get the idea here now. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. Not isolated, not a zillion different individuals. The old expression, no man is an island unto himself. Yeah, okay. Take it a different direction. No man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. For whether we live or die, we are Christ's. We belong to him. You belong to his body. You're not your own. You are bought with a price. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, made stronger, made dense, more stable, more secure, by that which every joint, now it says joint, but we're talking here about what every part, every cell in your skin touches another cell and joins to it. Beside it, all around it, below it, that one cell, if you could take a swatch of skin, you will find you have a couple layers of dermis, epidermis, skin cells. If you could magnify it enough to see the individual cells, if you take one cell out of its place in the surface of the skin, you've made a hole. Now, that cell may be gone, but you have exposed the more vulnerable sections to all the cells around it. You've made a hole in the skin through which bacteria and viruses can attack the rest of the body. That cell, while it may not have been huge. It may not have been striking. It might not have the impact of a pair of dark eyes and long lashes. It's just a little old skin cell. Isn't it strange? We look at different parts of the body and we say, well, now the heart, you got to have a heart. Heart's got to be in good shape. Yes, but you know that heart can stop. If the right bug gets through that little tiny hole in the skin where that one skin cell has been removed. You see, my friend, whether or not you occupy some glamorous position in the body, or whether you're just one of those little skin cells that nobody pays any attention to, you are a part of the whole, and you are essential to all those around you, and essential to the well-being of the rest of the body. Compacted by that which every joint, every part supplieth or brings into this union, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Now, wait a minute, effectual working, what does that mean? Well, let me say it like this. If you, let's just say within the confines, within the parameters of the congregation of the church you attend. If you're a member of a local congregation, I'm sure that you read over and agreed to a doctrinal statement. You agree that you believe the same things everybody else in that church believes. You also probably read over and maybe signed a church covenant. There were certain things you agreed to do. You agreed to be faithful in the attendance to the services. Well, I don't know whether you noticed that or not. It wasn't particularly fine print, but it was there. And if you're doing one of these, you know, one show a week thing, you know, I'm there for Sunday morning and I got other things to do, you're breaking the agreement that you signed on when you joined the church. But, well, let's go on. There were certain things you agreed to do. You agreed to pray for the well-being of the church. You agreed to support its services with your presence, to support its projects and its outreaches with monetary gifts. There were certain things you agreed to do. Now, if you're not doing those things, you're not living up to your potential. Now, those are just things you've agreed to, but there are other things that you may not pay much attention to. Can you sing? Oh, yeah, but I can never get up in front of people. Could you sing in a choir? Well, could you? Do you think God wants you to? You got a voice? Could you teach a Sunday school class? Oh, I don't have time to mess with them kids. Excuse me. What is it you're bringing into this union? What is it that you as a part of the body are supplying that is going to enhance the behavior, enhance the performance of, or the protection of the rest of the body? You're not just out there sitting on a shelf by yourself. I hold down my end of the pew. That's what I do. Really? That's it? That's all God expects of you? From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working. Effectual, yeah. What if it's not working? What if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing? It's amazing to me how many people get this dumbfounded look on their face. Doing? Well, what am I supposed to be doing? I'm here, ain't it? Not good enough. It somehow eludes them. It gets past their understanding that there may be some things that God wants from them, expects them to do. Oh, I got to do it. No, He expects it because you love Him. Did you ever notice if you're getting along good with your kids and you ask them to do something, they hop right to it? But if you're not getting along real well, you're feuding and fussing, you say, I want you to do such and such a thing, they drag their feet and drag around, never get it done. How come? Because their relationship with you is not what it ought to be. And so they're not hopping to it. They're not getting the job done. They're surly. They're mouthy. And what's the problem? Well, the relationship between the two of you is not what it ought to be. Is it not reasonable then to apply the same kind of rationale to what goes on in the church? Your Heavenly Father says, I want you to go witness. I want you to sing in the choir. I want you to give a testimony. I'd like for you to play some special music on the instruments. I'd like for...
Oh, man, I don't want to do that.
How much do you love him? What's your relationship with him like? According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Do you realize you may not be able to do a whole lot? You may not have any talent that you recognize or that anybody else would necessarily say, boy, they got a talent in this area. You know what I found to be a real blessing as a pastor? I find that sometimes, and let's face it, pastors are human too, regardless of what you may think of them. But as a pastor, I've noticed sometimes I'll be preoccupied, I'll be stressed out about something, and one of my people say, hey, pastor, I just want you to know I've been praying for you. That changes my outlook. That changes the way I'm responding to what's going on. Maybe get a note. Some family in church says, preacher, really appreciated what you said. It kind of got on our toes, but, you know, we needed to hear that. I really appreciate you taking the time to pray and seek the will of God and preach what he needed us to hear. Sometimes just a smile. Most people are like cattle. If you grew up on a farm, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Cattle, especially dairy cattle, usually used to be in milking parlors. You bring all the cattle in and you go from cow to cow, or you'd have several people milking. But there was always a certain stall, a certain stanchion that the old cow would go to. That's her place. And if some other cow got that's my place, they'd butt them out. A lot of times I've seen some pretty heavy action get going in a barn during the winter time when some cow's getting in there ahead of the other one. No, it was kind of a hierarchy, a pecking order if they were chickens. You notice, even in your congregation, you've seen it. You know that there's certain areas of the church where a particular family is going to sit, or a certain individual is going to sit. And I, as a pastor, a lot of times look in a certain area and expect to see somebody sitting there and, see a smile on the face. That does something. Sometimes I think, you know, we don't consider talents the way God does. Sometimes it's such a blessing just to have somebody give you a friendly smile. Try it. See what happens. This I say, therefore. Oh, back up just a minute in verse 16. He says, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Do you love the people you go to church with? Now, I don't mean anything untoward or improper by that. Do you love them in the Lord? Are they your brothers and your sisters? Do you treat them like family? Well, you know what I mean. I don't mean you fight with them like brothers and sisters, cats and dogs, but I mean, do you love them? You tell them. You see, you ought to be concerned about building them up, edifying them in love. Not because you have to. Not with a grudging attitude. You teach a Sunday school class because somebody asked you to or because you wanted to. Do you do things because you're nagged into it or because you're looking for an opportunity to serve the Lord? Because you love him. Do you want to see your brothers and sisters grow in the faith, come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? There you go. You found your job. You're on the right track. My time's gone. I got to get off here. See you tomorrow, 9:00. The Bible says. See you then.